Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some for not such a long time. Some have kids, some don't have kids. But many here are believers in Christ. Most are believers, but not all. We have folks that are looking at the gospel and seeking to know what life's all about related to the Bible in their life. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we do not understand. Jesus Christ is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Can I tell you this? Jesus is wonderful. And that's why we're here today, because of the difference that Christ makes in our life. I wanted to share with you, we are finishing up this part two to the beginning of the book of Philippians. The year that I was born, there was a major motion picture made called Pollyanna. Pollyanna was a girl who was 12 years old and came from the mission field. She was the child of missionaries, and she came to Harrington Town. And in Harrington Town, the Harringtons ran everything, and Pollyanna's aunt was Polly Harrington, was her name. And Polly Harrington really controlled everything in the town. And she was actually, she was an unhappy person. By the way, I think the church ought to be the happiest place in the world, because we have Christ in our life. We ought to be the most joyful place in the world. Well, Harrington Town was not, because Mrs. Harrington was bitter. She was not happy about life. And Carl Malden, the actor, some of y'all are going, who is these people, you know? Some of y'all know who I'm talking about, okay? Carl Malden was the preacher. Because I'm a pastor, you know, I was interested in how he played out in that thing, you know? Well, Carl Malden was the pastor of the church, and they'd all gather, and the problem was that the bitter lady in the church kept telling him what to preach. Now, don't tell me what to preach in here, okay? I don't want to hear it. It got him in trouble. But anyway, so she would tell him what to preach, and she'd say, oh, give it to him good. You know, preach about the wrath of God, and preach about, you know, that God's going to get them, and they're, you know, I mean, give it to them, you know. Now, by the way, there's a lot in the Bible about the wrath of God, but everything was negative that this guy preached, Carl Malden, the preacher in the movie. Well, here comes Pollyanna off the mission field, and she was the happiest-go-lucky person in the whole wide world, and she used to play a game called the Glad Game, and she said, even when something bad happens, we can find something to be glad about. And they said, oh, you cannot. They were mad with her because she seemed to be so happy about life, you know. And one day, Mrs. Harrington gave Pollyanna a note to give to the preacher to tell him what to preach the next day. And the preacher was out in the field sitting on a stump. And he was over here just wrestling with everything, you know. How am I going to say it? And he was out there practicing. Now, they got him on film practicing. You've never seen me practice. I'm not going to put that on film, okay? But anyway, he was out there practicing in the field, and he's preaching the wrath of God and all this. Well, she comes out there and hands him a note and says, this is what Mrs. Harrington wants you to preach on. And she says, you know, I wonder how come you don't ever preach on the happy texts. He said, pardon me? She said, oh yeah, the happy texts of the Bible. There are over 800 happy texts in the Bible, my father used to say. He said, what are you talking about? She said, you know, rejoice in the Lord, be glad in the things of God, happy is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. And so And he said, well, but we've got a wicked world that needs to be corrected and everything. She said, well, yeah, but there are these texts in the Bible, and it seems like that people would enjoy some joy every once in a while or some happiness every once in a while. And he said, well, what else did your dad used to say? The missionary, you know, Pollyanna's dad. She said, well, my dad used to always say, nobody owns a church. Well, he knew he was owned. And that put him under conviction. So the next morning they came in church, and they were all expecting hellfire and brimstone over ham and eggs. And he got up and he said, rejoice in the Lord. And they all went like that. They'd never heard anything happy or joyful at all. They said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And he ended up preaching a completely different text than he was used to doing. Can I tell you this? In the book of Philippians, 19 times it uses the word joy or happiness or some kin to it. Now, here's the interesting thing about the book of Philippians. Our title for the whole series is Joy for the Journey. Joy for the Journey. Happiness in God for the journey. And the thing about the book of Philippians is it was written by the Apostle Paul, who was in prison when he wrote it. If you thought there was ever a time for the Apostle Paul to have written, oh, woe is me, oh, I'm in trouble, would y'all please, I want y'all to be discouraged for me because I'm in such a bad strait, it would be right now. But instead of that, he talks about joy. And so this whole book of the Bible is a challenge to us to be joyful in the Lord. Let's look at our text. I'm going to begin with verse 3 and just read through verse 11. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Now, in your listening guide there on your bulletin, the first blank is filled in, because that's what we got to last week. This is part two of the beginning message of the book of Philippians. So we talked about a gospel joy. He says that's the fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. Paul founded this church in Acts chapter 16 on his second missionary journey. He went there and they were in prison, and they sang hymns at midnight, him and Silas, and the Lord sent an earthquake and opened up all the chains. The jailer was going to kill himself, and Paul said, we're all here. And he came in, he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your house. And so the church was founded in Philippi, and Paul had a great, great relationship with his church. And so we realize that joy in the church, first of all, is a gospel joy. That was last week. We have a gospel joy. What unites us in joy, church? It unites us in joy that we are preaching the gospel, that we are getting the gospel to people. You be a part of something in this church through your life group, through your ministry, through inviting people, through sharing Jesus Christ, through going on short-term trips to make a difference for Christ. All of the things that we do, teaching young people, all that we do for the purpose of the gospel going forward. And so it's a gospel joy. Number two, quickly. It's a confident joy. In verse 6, he says this, I'm being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. A confident joy. The word confident there means to be persuaded. Paul was absolutely convinced that the good work that God began in those believers in Philippi was going to continue as a process. He says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. The day of Christ is when the Lord comes again. It's when we all end up in heaven. You know, we're all going to live forever. The question is, where are we going to end up? And he says, I'm confident that if you know Jesus Christ, he is going to finish the job that he has begun in you. By the way, you know, salvation has three parts. There's three facets to the diamond of salvation. There's the past. I was saved. When I was a teenage boy, I gave my life to Christ, and the Bible says you were saved. You have been saved. That's past tense. But then there's a present tense to salvation. Oh, you did know that, right? There is a present tense to salvation. Not only were you saved, now a lot of times we just want to talk about we were saved. Did you know this? You are being saved. You were saved, past tense. But in the present tense, you are being saved. That is sanctification. If you go back two pages in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, it says this. Salvation in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are to walk in the good works that God has prepared for us from time past. And the word workmanship is an artsy word, like a poem or a work of art. You know, you're a work of art. God is working on you. God is making you sweeter and sweeter. God is changing your character. You should be allowing him to do that, because salvation is not only past tense, but it's present tense. You are being saved. And then it's future tense. You will be saved. So here's salvation. I have been saved. I am being saved. And I will be saved. What's going to be saved in the future? This old body, this old red head that's not red anymore. This old skin that is not going to make it forever. It's not going to make it forever. I can do everything I want to do to make it last. But it's not going to last forever. But one day, my body will be saved. So I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Folks, listen. God is working on you. You should allow him you should let the lordship of Christ come into every facet of your life so that you can be developed and the character of Christ be developed in you. Paul says to the Philippian people, he says, I'm confident of this thing. I have a confident joy that it will be complete in you. Number three, not only a gospel joy, not only a confident joy, but number three, a thankful joy. In our passage here in verse 7, it says, just as it is right for me to think this of you. What's the this? The this goes back to verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Just as it is right for me to think this of you. It's a thankful joy. He's thinking of the people and he's grateful for all that they mean to him. They have sent him a gift. He's in prison. They sent him an offering, something to help him. And so he's thankful. Every time he thinks about them, he's thankful for them. So his joy, and church family, our joy, is rooted in gratefulness. You say, boy, I really have a problem being happy, being joyful. Then I would suggest that you get out a piece of paper and write down all the things you're grateful for. I was challenged as a teenager to do that, write down 100 things I'm thankful for. Well, you can write down about 15 and then you kind of get stumped unless you really start thinking about it. And I would encourage you to write down 100 things you're thankful for in your spouse, in your husband, in your wife. You write down why you're grateful. You know, your relationship will become more happy when you realize how much of a blessing that person is and how much of a blessing God has given to you. And so he says to them in the passage in verse 7, just as is right for me to think this of you because I have you in my heart. First of all, it was emotional. The church was emotional to him. And he says, I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. When he says the defense and confirmation, those are legal terms. Most likely it meant that whether he was free or in chains, they were supporting him. They were partakers. They were fellow workers. The joy that comes in the church, as we think about joy for the journey, we're talking about joy in the church. This ought to be the happiest place on the planet because we're fellowshipping in the gospel. We have a confident joy that God is working on us to make us into who he wants us to be. And then we have a thankful joy. Paul was thankful for all these believers. They had been part of the calling of grace. And then the scripture says in verse 8, it says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Christ. That word affection is an amazing word. It is the word, what I read about it was the word for entrails. You know what entrails are? When Kelly and I went to visit one of our children in England, we got in a car. That was an event of its own. And I drove that car on the wrong side of the road. We actually went in to get the thing from the rental company, and we got in it, sat in it, and I said to Kelly, let's go back in the airport and get a cup of coffee. I was not ready to drive that thing on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, so we went back in the Heathrow Airport in London, and I said, the car will be here when we get back. So we got back, and then I started driving. It's funny how it came to you, though, even being on the left-hand side. They had all the turnabouts and all that, but it kind of came to you, and you learned how to do it. We went to Edinburgh, Scotland. We stayed at a place, and they had breakfast, and the guy came out that morning, and he said, oh, I've forgotten the name of it. Say it again. Haggis, yeah, thank you, Rachel. And so anyway, he said, would you like some haggis? And of course, I was like wanting to try everything, you know, that you're supposed to try, you know. And so Kelly said, nah, I don't think so. My kids all said, I don't know. My son-in-law said, okay, yeah, let's try it. So they brought it to us, and we tasted it. It was real peppery, kind of a meat thing, real peppery. And I said, what is this? And I'll never forget the Scottish man. He goes, and it was like he was talking out of the back of his throat. He goes, entrails. I said, excuse me? He said, entrails. I said, entrails? What are entrails? He said, intestines. This is the word for intestines. Paul says, I have an affection for you, and it's in my gut. Can I tell you this, folks? Do you have love for one another in this fellowship that is in your gut? Paul loved this church. And he says it is a serious tie for Paul. It was a serious love that he had for them. And so not only is it a gospel joy, a confident joy, a thankful joy, but the last one is this, it's a growing joy. Because in verses 9 through 11, he's praying that they would grow in their love. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment. Love more and more. This is agape love. It doesn't have an object. Love that is self-sacrificing. He has joy because they will grow in this love. And then he says that you may approve. Well, let me finish verse 9. That your love may still more and more abound in knowledge and in all discernment. In knowledge, that is the word for experiential knowledge. In discernment, the word discernment is moral direction. Paul says this. He says, one of the reasons I have joy in the church is because it's based upon the gospel. I'm confident God is going to work in you. I'm thankful for you so much so that it's even in my entrails. It's that important. But he said, I also have a growing joy for you because I'm praying that you would grow and have discernment. The word discernment is a moral, it's a moral direction that he's praying that they would have, that they would have a growing joy and a moral direction, practically living it out. And then in verse 10, that you may approve, that word approve is to test, that when put to the test, you would approve the things that are excellent, to choose what is best, the best way to live. And ladies and gentlemen, happiness that comes from the world will let you down, but happiness or joy that comes from the Lord will never let you down. And he's saying, if you want to know this, you've got to approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. I love that word, sincere. It comes from two words, one from the word to judge, and one from the word the son. Sincerity. It means that when held up to the sun, it's sincere. It's the real deal. He says, I'm praying that you will grow in your affection for the Lord. You will grow in your love for the Lord, that you will grow in your discernment of making moral decisions in your life, moral direction in your life, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. To be sincere. It's like, I don't know if this is happening to you, but when you go in, you give a bill, maybe a 20. I've noticed they don't do it, on the ones necessarily, the tens. But sometimes you give them a 20, and oh, if you happen to give them a $100 bill, what do? They take that thing and they look up. You know what I'm talking about? You know what they're doing? They're looking for... There's evidently, I don't know what's in that thing, but there's like a line going across it that has the denomination written into it. I mean, they are making those bills so elaborate, and they'll take that bill and they'll hold it up to the sun, and they'll say, yeah, that's real. You know, in other words, well, they don't say that, but they hold it up, and then they'll give you your change or whatever they want to do because they're looking at it through the sunlight. It's the same concept. That one day, Paul is saying, let me tell you what I'm praying for that church. Man, that church that I love, that church that was started almost from a jail cell. It actually started on a riverbank. Lydia got saved on a riverbank and some others there. And he says, man, I love that church. I want them to grow. And he said, I'm praying that on the day of the Lord, that their lives will be held up to the sun. And it will be the real deal. It will be the real deal. He says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere. That's the word for holding it up without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. The church and its relationships should be a place of joy. It should be a place of spiritual happiness. And it will give God glory when we live that way. Now, is this for you? Well, let me tell you this. You say, well, I'd love to get in on those happy texts that Carl Malden ended up preaching on, that Pollyanna talked about. I'd love to get in on those happy texts because the truth is joy is something we seek. You know, the joy of the Lord is something that we need, something that we seek. So how do we do that? Well, let me ask you a question. The first thing you need to do to get in on that joy is to give your life to Jesus Christ. You may be here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior. The first thing you need to do is give your life to Christ, because when Jesus Christ comes in, everything begins to change. You're in the past, you're saved, in the past tense. Then you are going to be saved. You're being saved. And then one day when you pass from this life, you'll go to heaven and you'll get a new body. You will be saved. So the first thing is I encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ if you're going to get in on all of the glad, joyful and happy texts of Scripture. The second thing I would say is get involved with the church. Let me just tell you this. He begins this letter by talking about joy in the church. And how did he do it? He talked about the fellowship they have in the gospel, the focus of the church, getting the gospel to the world, and true joy comes from that. And so I would encourage you to get involved with the church. You know, worship with us. Study the Word of God. If you're not in a life group, you need to get in a life group. Hey, on Sunday mornings, I walk around and visit a lot of the life groups. I don't get to all of them, but I stick my head in the door. Man, it's a happy place. You go in these life groups and people are getting to know one another. They're challenging one another in spiritual things. So I encourage you to study the Word. Learn how to study the Word on your own and then be involved in ministry in the life of the church. What's your ministry? You say, well, I just come. All right? I'm glad you do. I'm glad you just come. But can I tell you this? What's the next step? The next step is you need to make sure you're in a small group. You need to get in a life group. Need to get to know people. And then ask God, Lord, what are some ministries I can be involved in? Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable how many things we need. We need people to greet. We need people to work with children. We need people to work with young people. There's all kinds of ministry. We've got Awana on Wednesday night. We've got conversational English. We've got a ministry with one of our guys that's a member here called Global Connections, where you connect with international students at the University of Florida. There are so many ways. We've got a music ministry up here. You've got a musical ability. Use that for the Lord. Get involved in ministry in some way. And then the third thing I would say to you is remind yourself of God's blessings. Write them down. Be thankful for the blessings. That's what Paul did. He said, I'm thankful. I have a thankful joy for you because I remember your involvement in my life. And then I would say this to you, stay around joyful people. I'm not going to say it anyway, all right? Hey, I would tell you this, fill your mind with music. Fill your mind with music. The Christian faith is the only faith that is a singing faith. You say, well, I can't carry a tune. We know it. We know it. We know it. But the Lord says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, the longer I live, probably the less I can carry a tune, to be honest with you. But I can't help but sing. I walk around in here in the week, and I'm singing down the hallways, and I'll stumble up on somebody. I thought I was all by myself, and I'll be singing. I just think that there's something about music. Yesterday, we were at a men's work day, and I got a hold of this Andrew Peterson song, He is Worthy. He is worthy. Is the world in trouble? And the people answer back, it is. Does the world need an answer? And the people answer back, they do. And the people are singing. And man, I said, Robert, where are you? Get in here, man. And I played this thing and we looked at it together and we rejoiced. Music, get you some Jesus music and fill your home with music. Fill your life with music. Fill your car with music. Let music bring joy into your life. And then the other thing I would say is take the long view of life. You know, sometimes you think, you know, boy, what I'm experiencing right now is difficult, and it is. I would not be telling you the truth if I didn't say to you that there are some dark days that we face. We will face those dark days, and I don't have all the explanations for why those things happen. But can I tell you this? I'm taking the long view. I'm taking the long view. I don't know what's going to happen to me health-wise. I don't know what's going to happen to the circumstances that where I am and where I'm living and everything. But I tell you one thing. I know I've gone to Revelation. I know the end of the story. I'm taking the long view. I know this. God says nothing can separate me from His love. I'm in the palm of His hand. He closes that down. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Lord Jesus takes His other hand, puts it on top. Then, you ready for this? God the Father puts His hands around me. There's nothing going to separate me from the love of God. And one day I have the promise to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That song yesterday, He is Worthy, it says, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy to handle this? Life can be tough. He's worthy. You, like a pit bull, give your life to Jesus, and you hold on to Jesus with your life, you're going to be all right. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How shall we know the way? And Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So that tells me that if I put my life, if I give my life to Christ and let him save me and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life, I'm going to have some bumps in the road. But I'm in this for the long haul. And let me tell you something better than me being in it for the long haul. He's in it for the long haul. Because he's the one that began the good work and he will complete it. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.